we don't want to have to train staff on how to use a Bitcoin wallet for them to be able to take payments. We want to keep it simple for them. That's another thing I'm trying to promote, is let the Bitcoiners do everything on their end, and the staff just use their existing point of sale like they would with a cash payment.
Me and Adam know a caterer that came on board with accepting Bitcoin payments back in 2022. He's more than doubled, like I think tripled his sales in his business because he was accepting Bitcoin payments in 2022 and he hasn't been selling his Bitcoin.
Welcome to the Business Bitcoinization Show, the show dedicated to helping you enrich your life and grow your business with Bitcoin, the hardest money on planet Earth. I'm your host, Josh Friedemann, and our guests today are Adam and Cole from Coinos, which is a Bitcoin wallet that serves also as a point of sale for a physical store or shop. Today, we're going to be talking about Coinos and why it might be a great fit for your business. Of course, before we get to today's interview with Adam and Cole, we do have this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight. And even before that, I want to thank those who have been supporting the show on Fountain in the last week. Now, I want to give you a heads up here. I may miss some people because I'm having to record this a little bit earlier than usual because I'm going to be in Austin for Pleb Labs Startup Day. That said, this week, thank you to Nick Irwin, 1990, and No Waste BTC Signs for streaming sats to the show, as well as those who have boosted the podcast. And those would be user 6790653, who sent a 1,000 sat boost for Hunter Hastings episode, as well as Hoddle Alvarado, who sent a 100 sat boost to the Dakota Cohen episode, saying, "Great episode. Bitcoin is hope to build a better world of abundance. My plan is to build greenhouses and grow fruit and vegetables year-round for all." MCOT3D sent a 285 sat boost about the same episode with a similar sentiment. He said, "Thanks for the homestead content, Dakota. I'm about 2 years into owning and upgrading a 3-acre property. It's a lot of work, but fun, healthy, and humbling. It's a great balance to the online, monetary, and political nature of Bitcoin. Cheers." Once again, thanks to all those who've been streaming sats and sending boosts on Fountain in the last week. If you want to support the show, you can listen on Fountain, and as you're listening, stream sats to the show or send a boost. And if you send a message with your boost, I'll be sure to read that on the show. Now, for this week's Bitcoin Meetup Spotlight, it's the Sioux Falls Bitcoiners. Sioux Falls Bitcoin runs a meetup out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They prioritize connecting local Bitcoiners, providing education, and encouraging the use of Bitcoin as a currency in their area. The Sioux Falls area is known for its entrepreneurial streak, as well as a focus on independence and self-sufficiency, making it an ideal place for Bitcoin adoption. Their monthly meeting is on the second Monday of every month at Remedy Brewing, but they host other events from time to time as well. You can find out more about Sioux Falls Bitcoin on Twitter at Sioux Falls BTC or on their website, SiouxFallsBitcoin.com. Those links are down below, along with a link to the Oshi app, which you can use to find a Bitcoin meetup near you. Now, we're going to get to our interview with Adam and Cole right after this. Business owners, unlock the benefits Bitcoin has to offer your business with the Bitcoin for Business Quick Start Guide. This 27-page guide highlights the 6 ways you can grow your business with Bitcoin. Check it out in the show notes. Adam and Cole, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having us, Josh.
So I like to start off every single interview with a few questions that help us to get to know you a little bit better and give us some insight for our own lives. So you ready for these?
Yeah, shoot.
Yeah. Adam, we'll start off with you. When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
I learned about it in 2011, I think just browsing articles on the internet. Actually, it was a blog post by a guy named Dan Kaminsky. I remember exactly what it was. He had kind of researched Bitcoin and was coming at it as a skeptic. He's like a security researcher or a hacker who would try to find vulnerabilities in software and things. And he was kind of checking out Bitcoin and found that it was surprisingly, you know, well thought out, well written code. And so he wrote a whole blog post on it, kind of singing its praises a bit. And that kind of spurred me to go and look into it myself.
Cole, same question to you. When and how did you first learn about Bitcoin?
I heard about it in 2013 shame on me for not buying into it as soon as I heard about it, right? And the guy that told me about it, he wasn't the kind of person that I would really want to hang out with in general. He wasn't like a close friend. So I didn't take it seriously. And he's telling me about how he's like buying drugs with it and stuff like that, like on Silk Road and stuff like that. So I didn't really take it very seriously at all. And I'm like, so is it strong right now? Like, is it lucrative? He's like, yeah, they're stronger than ever right now. And so I didn't take it seriously. Heard about it again from a friend of mine in 2015. Friend of a friend told me about it. And then that's when I made my first purchase. I started thinking about it. I was like, why not put a few hundred bucks? And my first Bitcoin was $450 US, something like that. I looked at it at $400 and I thought that was too expensive. Then it went up to $450. And then I was like, oh no, no, I better buy into it, right? Then I got, I've just been a believer in it ever since. But I did lose some confidence in 2018 when the market crashed because I didn't understand it fully. I thought the market going down meant that it was a scam, actually. But that was just my own ignorance thinking that. But 2019, 2020, I put a significant amount of my capital, of my net worth into it, like over 90%. And I'm really glad I did.
Cole, we're going to go back to you for this second question. What's an insight or fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
That's a very good question. I wish that everybody understood that it is the greatest hedge against inflation that mankind has ever seen. And it has outperformed all of the FANG companies. For those of you people who don't know it, it's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and Microsoft. So when you put all of those companies together, Bitcoin has beat all of them to $1 trillion market cap by a long shot. Like, it even beat Apple. I mean, beating all those other companies is big. Beating Apple's another monster in and of itself. So if people understand those things, they will be more likely to trust it.
Adam, how about to you? What's an insider fact about Bitcoin that you wish everyone understood?
Yeah, I always like to think about the properties of what makes a good money. You hear these things like durability, portability, fungibility. So basically, when you compare the properties of Bitcoin against other forms of money, either that we use now or that we've used in the past, it has all these properties that make it a good form of money. It's a good store of value because it's sound money. Like, it has that scarcity where, you know, we can't make more than 21 million of them. It's got a limited supply. It's really portable. You can like send it on the internet across the world, like to other countries, as easy as sending an email. It's very hard to counterfeit because of the math behind it. You can't double spend it, right? Like, if you send someone a Bitcoin, they can be pretty sure that once they've received it into their wallet and they get that green check mark, that there's no way you're going to be able to, you know, to cheat them on that. Like, they're pretty much guaranteed that they've got the money in their hands and that it's real. Mm-hmm. It's divisible up to 8 decimal places. So you can have tiny fractions of a Bitcoin. That's something a lot of people just don't really think about at first when they're looking at the price of Bitcoin. They think, oh, it's $50,000 for a Bitcoin. I'll never be able to afford one. But you can buy like a, you know, pennies worth of a Bitcoin and denominated in up to 100 millionth of a Bitcoin or a Satoshi. So all these things add up to making it a good form of money compared to something like gold or to paper bills or coins or seashells that were used in the past. All these things have problems that Bitcoin doesn't have. And so for that reason, it's probably poised to become like the best form of money we've ever had. And therefore, it's going to replace all other forms of money. And so that makes it a good investment as well.
So now we have question number 3. And Adam, I'm going to direct this to you. What's the Bitcoin resource you most recommend to other people?
I did read your questions and should have had an answer ready for this before. I don't have like a great go-to book or video that I send to everyone. I sort of custom tailor it to where people are at. For technical podcasts, I guess if you're wanting to get into like the the way Bitcoin works under the hood and hear some of the developers talking, which is kind of the route that I like to go as a technical guy. I usually recommend the Stefan Levera podcast. He gets a lot of good guests on there that really go into the weeds and go deep on Bitcoin technical stuff. So that's one that I like, but it might be a little advanced for like a beginner. So if you're just getting into Bitcoin and just sort of starting to wrap your head around it, maybe just check out bitcoin.org. And from there, they'll have links to a bunch of different, you know, resources and wiki pages on the basics of Bitcoin.
And Cole, how about you? What's the Bitcoin resource that you find yourself recommending most to other people?
I find that I recommend certain books. I like one called Thank God for Bitcoin because it has many different authors in it. Robert Breedlove is one of them. There's a lot of really good contributing authors to that book, and it helps people see that Bitcoin is a very moral money. It's very moral. It's not evil. It's the opposite of evil. And in this book, it talks about how fiat is completely evil and how it's managed is literally evil, right? It's not morally run at all. So a lot of people, I would say most people I talk to look at Bitcoin as evil. Like they don't understand it. They think, oh, it's used for drug dealers and cartels. Well, yeah, I mean, it is used for those things, but also cash is used for those things. So does that mean cash is a scam? Cash is a scam. But when I bring up that comparison, it helps people. But another big resource is Bitcoin University, which he's a YouTuber. His name is Matthew Crater, a great guy. I've been following him for years. I strongly recommend him. He's my favorite YouTuber. My favorite Bitcoin YouTuber. Yeah.
Yeah. When I find, and I don't post tons and tons of shorts on YouTube. There was a time when I was doing a little bit more of that, and there will be a time in the future where I'm doing more of that as well. But every time someone would have some sort of like negative comment or something like that, they clearly didn't know what they were talking about. And so I would always point them to Bitcoin University because Matthew Crater has such great content. It's very well explained, and he doesn't shy away from really saying it like it is. He does it in a nice way, but he's also very firm about the types of, he just has great perspectives and he doesn't shy away from saying them directly. So I definitely can affirm that particular resource, especially for people.
No, that's good. Yeah, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He'll say straight up, this guy's a scammer. Vitalik's the worst scammer of them all. Like, he's not afraid to say it.
Yep. So question number four, and Cole, we'll go back to you with this one, is beyond Bitcoin, what is a resource, tool, or idea that has been helpful to you or your work recently?
Keeping my priorities in order and keeping myself busy enough where I don't have time to just sit and look at a wall or watch TV. Keep myself busy enough, but at the same time, keep my priorities set. Make sure I set half an hour aside almost daily for exercise, half an hour to an hour. And motivation, following people, learning from people who are way farther ahead in life than me, learning from them.
That's a good word. Adam, how about you? A tool, idea, something that's been useful to you or your work recently?
So recently I had some blood work done. I turned 40 and my wife got me to go for a checkup at the doctor. And they found that I had low thyroid, like in my blood work. So I've been trying this diet to see if I can address it before I go on medication for it. And I've cut out gluten, dairy, soy, alcohol, and started trying to exercise daily, lift weights to see if I can, you know, the next time I go back for this blood test, if I can get my, whatever the thyroid, I forget what the actual reading is called, but see if I can get it back to like a normal level and not have to take drugs to address it. So as a result, I've been feeling a lot better lately, just in general. Like, I've got a little bit more balance in my life and I'm feeling I have more energy, less brain fog. So I'm glad that, yeah, my wife kind of prompted me to go in for that, and I'm sticking to this diet for now. It's kind of helping me out, but that's kind of a, you know, very specific to my personal situation, but
Yeah, but I think it's encouraging for people to hear. And it's like, first of all, you have some numbers that you're trying to change in your blood work. But like at the end of the day, you are taking some steps that, you know, you probably, you know, could have identified as like, I need to do some things with my diet a little bit differently. I can eat more healthily, et cetera, et cetera. But you had a reason to do it. You've made those changes and you're experiencing benefits from that. Even if you don't know the numbers yet, just experiencing a better quality of life is valuable in and of itself. So I think a lot of people could hear that and say, I know there's something like that in my diet or some other daily habit that I probably need to change. So hopefully that's an encouragement to at least someone out there. Now we have our final, what we call our arbitrary but insightful question. And it's this going to you, Adam. As a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
I guess I'm more of the why not. do things first and that, or yeah, don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness kind of thing.
Yeah,
just be bold, go out, give things a try. If it's not going to hurt you, it's good to explore different things in life. Trying to have like broad interests, not pigeonhole yourself into one single, you know, career focus or identity or anything. I like to try out different things, hang out with different types of people, find different mentors and people that can inspire you. So Yeah, that's benefited me, at least taking that kind of approach.
And Cole, how about for you as a general life principle, is it better to ask why or why not?
Yeah, I agree. I'm on the same kind of thing, like as Adam, is that like I'm definitely the kind of person to go for it and be bold enough to like try something as long as it's not going to hurt me, like weigh out the pros and cons. And like, am I going to really be hurt by trying this out? And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, like I've made pretty big decisions by being overly bold and by being overly kind of hasty with certain things. And I've learned from my mistakes. And what I do is when I make a big mistake, I pick myself back up and move forward with twice as much speed. Right. And that has helped me that has helped me so much in my life. And like that understanding, you know, cause a lot of books talk about this kind of stuff. They talk about how, billionaires gauge their potential clients, not based on how many times they fail, but based on how they handle failure. How do they handle their mistakes? I'm not saying that someone who's a billionaire means you have to be that way to be successful. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some of the books I've read by billionaires, they've mentioned these kinds of things, right? And money's not everything. Like, when I say success, I'm not talking about just money. Money is only one piece of the pie when I say success. So I would say that understanding how it's not about how many failures you have. It's about how quick you pick yourself back up.
If you were hit by a bus right now, could your family access your Bitcoin? When's the right time to stop hodling and use Bitcoin to impact your family's lives, not just yours? What if Bitcoin doesn't reach the value you expect, or it takes longer to reach that value? Do you have a plan? Do you have the proper trust structure to avoid probate, maintain your privacy, and minimize taxes? Do you want to avoid taxes to stack more sats or leverage your stack without selling? Should you add Bitcoin to your business's balance sheet? Are you truly confident in your self-custody setup? If any of those questions made you stop and think, you probably realize that simply buying and holding Bitcoin is not a complete financial plan. That's where Strong Wealth comes in. Orange-pilled advisors blending traditional financial planning with deep Bitcoin expertise, giving you the best of both worlds, so you can sleep peacefully knowing you're making the right moves for your family no matter what happens. Schedule a free call at strongwealth.net. That's strongwealth.net. Strong Wealth. Wealth management for Bitcoiners by Bitcoiners. Today's episode of Business Bitcoinization is proudly brought to you by Velus Commerce, where the future of business technology meets Bitcoin. As we journey through the era of Bitcoin and its transformational impact on businesses, there's one name that stands out: Velus Commerce. Whether you're looking to build a cutting-edge website, a seamless mobile app, or custom software, Velus is your go-to team. They've been diving deep into the world of Bitcoin since 2014, making them one of the most experienced groups for integrating Bitcoin and Lightning payments into a variety of digital platforms. But here's what truly sets them apart. Velus Commerce doesn't just build. They bring a wealth of knowledge to ensure your project's success from day one. Their team understands the nuances of Bitcoin, ensuring that your business stays ahead of the curve. And for all business Bitcoinization listeners out there, Velus Commerce is offering a free consultation to kickstart your project the right way. So if you're ready to future-proof your business in the coming age of hyper-Bitcoinization, head over to veluscommerce.com or reach out on Twitter at Velus Commerce. Let's make sure your business thrives in the Bitcoin era. So Adam and Cole, we're here today to talk about your project Coinos. Adam, let's start with you. Could you tell us a little bit about the project? You as the founder, where did you get the idea? And maybe just kind of a brief overview of what you're looking to do.
Yeah, I guess I mentioned that I found Bitcoin in 2011 and went down the rabbit hole and kind of convinced myself that it was the real deal and it's a good form of money and we should all be using it. So then I wanted to go and spread the word to people. I started organizing meetups in Vancouver and trying to get local businesses to accept Bitcoin as a form of payment directly. Back in the day before the Lightning Network existed, I started Coinos as a sort of one-page kind of simple wallet that you could use to just monitor your address for transactions and record the price history. So when you got a payment coming in, it would tell you in fiat terms what it was at the time. And that's something that, you know, other wallets that were in the market back then weren't really doing very much. And then I also, with merchants, I found a lot of them wanted to prompt people to add a tip before they would send the payment. So I added a little function in for that. And it sort of evolved from there into becoming a wallet that was sort of tailored towards merchant adoption, because that's the use case I was kind of focused on, was getting, you know, retail restaurants and cafes and those type of businesses to be able to take payments easily. I rewrote everything from scratch back in 2017 or 18 when Lightning was starting to come around, because I kind of became apparent to me that on-chain Bitcoin payments weren't going to be viable for small retail transactions. So I switched my focus to incorporate Lightning payments, and yeah, it just sort of kept evolving. We've, I think, rewritten the UI, the front end, a couple of times now, and tried to make it simpler and easy for people. The objective with Coinos is to be like a consumer wallet that it's not just for businesses to receive payments, but anyone can use it as your personal like spending wallet. And so we're trying to make it that there's just no complexity to it, no setup. You don't have to like open a Lightning channel or do any kind of installation or configuration to get started with Lightning payments. And going the custodial wallet route affords us that ability to be like super simple, where you just have your balance and you have a username and a password and you can start sending payments right away. So there's trade-offs there. It's not, you know, for security, it's not the wallet that you want to keep your life savings in, but for convenience and ease of use, it's a wallet that you might want to keep $50 in or $100 in, so that when you're going out to restaurants and you're going around town, it's something you can just pull out and fire off a payment. And it's very easy to use and to get started with.
So BTC Sessions has a great overview of Coinos, and I'll plan to link that in the show notes if people want to check that out. That said, maybe Adam, one more thing before we go over to Cole to talk a little bit about the adoption among merchants. What is it that sets it apart? You've kind of described why some features you've added in for merchants, but is it primarily just the ability to add a tip that helps it to be more merchant focused, or are there a couple other things that make it really stand out as a benefit to merchants?
Yeah, specifically for merchants, we've got the tip is a big one, but also the reporting that it does. And like I mentioned, how it keeps track when you receive a payment of the fiat value. So for income reporting, most merchants are going to have to report, you know, as a barter transaction, what was the Bitcoin worth when you received it? And we keep track of that value and any of the capital gains you're making. So if you receive Bitcoin as a merchant and then it appreciates in value and you go and sell it a year down the road, you're also required to pay a capital gains tax on that. So we make that kind of accounting and reporting really simple for the merchants. We give them an export, like a CSV spreadsheet export that they can download for that. And we also have developed these physical printers. Pull my note here to show you. This is another kind of unique thing with Coinos, is that you can get these printers from us that connect to your Wi-Fi, and they use our API to connect to your Coinos account. So as soon as you receive a payment into your merchant account or any account, like this will print a receipt and it'll tell you in dollars how much you received. And so the user experience when you're in a retail setting, this is a much easier method for like staff to use. They don't have to get out like a big chunky tablet and get into an app that they're not really familiar with and use Bitcoin, which is something they don't deal with very often. If they do get a Bitcoiner coming in wanting to pay for something, the Bitcoiner does everything on their phone. So they'll scan a QR code that goes to the merchant's Coinos page. They'll enter the total they want to send, add the tip, fire it off. And then the staff gets this little paper notification that they received X amount of dollars. And they put that in the till and they can enter it into their point of sale like cash. So they don't have to learn anything new to deal with Bitcoin payments. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something unique that not a lot of other point of sale like Bitcoin systems or wallets are really promoting, is the fact that we don't want to have to train staff on how to use a Bitcoin wallet for them to be able to take payments. We want to keep it simple for them. So that's another thing I'm trying to promote, is let the Bitcoiners do everything on their end and the staff just, they just use their existing point of sale like they would with a cash payment.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, the people that understand the stuff, who are in it every day, who are, you know, more comfortable with the technology, let them bear the burden. I think it makes a whole lot of sense. And I didn't actually know about the printability, that feature. So that's very helpful. Now, Cole, you are the biz dev guy. I'd love to hear about how conversations are going, how adoption's been, how open people are, business owners are, to the idea of accepting Bitcoin. Just kind of getting a pulse on your experience with business owners.
Yeah. So I would say, the majority of the business owners I talk to that I try to onboard, of course, they say no. It's about 95%. There's a 95% rejection rate, but that's okay because it's a new technology. It's expected. And like I was saying before, right, it's when I fail talking to 10 different people, that 11th person I need to have even more energy with, right, or the 12th person, right? So I do a lot of door knocking. I do a lot of cold calling as well. And the reception is getting better, I would say. I would say because Bitcoin is becoming more popular, it's in the news more. The ETF approval really helped as well, make our job easier with onboarding users and merchants. And some of the main points that we tell business owners is, you know, why would they want to accept Bitcoin? Why does it benefit them? So we mention there's guaranteed increased sales. We give guaranteed increased sales because we promote their business. We provide free marketing across all of our social media pages, our Telegram groups. We get a lot of organic engagement this way. So we are able to literally give them guarantees of increased sales. We also let them know that we advertise their business at our local meetups sometimes as well. And they get to have an asset that is going to increase over time, essentially. We can't guarantee that, but we tell them that it'll most likely increase, so it's a good investment. Yeah, so we tell them those things. And we have, most of the businesses that are using us are getting a significant, all businesses that are using us are getting increased sales. And some businesses are getting a lot more than even me and Adam expected. One of the businesses that we onboarded did $1,100 in one day of Bitcoin sales. And this is not like a restaurant or a high volume. It's a high volume place, but it's not like a restaurant or cafe. It was a restaurant, or it was a location a business that me and Adam wouldn't have expected to have that much volume. So they have the record for that specifically, right? There's a very big variety of business types that are using us, from restaurants, cafes, coffee shops, butchers, barbers, a yacht / boat repair business, a glass shop. You can get your windows changed in your house around here. It's pretty good. An exotic car rental company in Miami, a veterinarian in Miami. I have videos of me going to these places, right? And I'm posting this online to show people and say, hey guys, these businesses are real. They're live. They're actually accepting Bitcoin payments. The reason why I say that point just now is because there's other Bitcoin map websites that are not very good at auditing the posts that people make. And they don't audit the pins on the map as well. BTCmap.org does a good job. Obviously, my favorite Bitcoin map is coinos.io. It's the map at the bottom of our homepage. It shows all the pins on the map that are currently using us. Our next recommendation is btcmap.org because it's not only Coinos locations, it's general Bitcoin and Lightning locations. Mm-hmm. It's more audited on those maps. So we do like to show videos of our merchants that are currently using us to show the public that it's real. Mm-hmm. We have tea shops, a big variety of different kinds of restaurants as well. Like if you want to have Greek food, if you want to have Turkish food, or a general restaurant food, like there's a lot of options, especially in Vancouver. We have almost 40 businesses in Vancouver alone that are currently using us. And it's well over 40 if you look at all Bitcoin Lightning merchants, not just within Coinos. And Coinos, we as Coinos have over 450 businesses worldwide using us. There is tens of thousands of businesses around the world that are using Bitcoin. Like if you go on the maps.bitcoin.com, there's 600 businesses in Venezuela. There's over 1,000 in this one small country in Europe. You can, when you have time, look it up. And it's impressive how many Bitcoin merchants there are around the world. Mm. We just really put a focus on that merchant adoption, but not just merchant adoption, but also user adoption. Like at the Bitcoin and Coffee meetups we have, me and Adam are onboarding users, new users, pretty much every time. And we're educating people about Lightning. A lot of people who are in Bitcoin don't really understand Lightning. They don't understand the basics of what it is. And we don't necessarily need to go into the technical jargon and into the really, really, you know, in-depth computer coding of it, but we just tell them the basics. We start off with telling them the basics. It's a layer two solution of Bitcoin. Not only that, but it's off-chain. The fact that Lightning is off-chain is incredible for privacy purposes too, right? We also recommend, as a layer two for Bitcoin, Liquid, the Liquid network. Coinos is operable with Bitcoin, Lightning, and also Liquid. I've used Liquid multiple times at merchants. It totally works using Coinos. Aqua Wallet is a good one that we recommend that interacts with Coinos well. And Liquid is a layer two for Bitcoin that's on chain, not off chain. Which is cool. It's good to have a layer two of Bitcoin that's on chain. I like that. And Coinos has both of those options, which is good. So that's generally how the merchants are responding to us. And we tell them that our fees are the lowest in the world regarding, you know, other Bitcoin Lightning wallets. We're only 0.1%. And the 0.1% fee that we charge is a conversion fee, which is optional. I say it's optional because you only get charged that 0.1% conversion fee when you choose to transfer your Bitcoin out of Lightning, which you don't have to do.
That's great.
And then, and then the merchant will not incur any credit card fees if they accept Bitcoin payments, right? Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this at this pizza place called Four Brothers Pizza in downtown Vancouver. I was just talking to people within the pizza place themselves. And I was saying, why is Bitcoin a good idea? And then I'm asking the business owner to tell us themselves how much they pay for credit card fees. And the business owners say, I think Visa charges them about 3%. And they also use a POS called Clover. Mm-hmm. Clover has a nice UI, like it's a nice interface and stuff, but they charge you an additional 1% on top of the 3% credit card fees. So Four Brothers Pizza is spending, or they're being charged 4% on every transaction that people use Visa with. So with Coindos, it's usually 0.1% or 0.0%.
Wow. So Adam, one of the things I think business owners might be concerned about, or at least it will come to their minds as we're talking right now, is how do you protect the Bitcoin if you have employees who are somehow who have access to Coinos? Are there protections so that an employee can't move money out of the wallet to their own wallet, for instance? What are some things that people are doing to make sure that the Bitcoin they receive from customers stay safe?
Yeah, there's a few different things there. So one of them is you can put an additional PIN code on your account. So in addition to having the login password to get in, to make a withdrawal out of the account, you also need this PIN code. And we have, like a unique 6-digit PIN. We also have 2-factor authentication. So you'd need to use like Google Authenticator or Authy or one of these apps that gives you like an additional one-time code with a 30-second timeout on it. Another thing is you don't need to share the login password with staff. Like I mentioned, the printer, if they're just getting a paper receipt that comes out automatically, they don't need to be logged into the app for that. They don't need to be looking at the transaction history on the device at all, because they just have these pieces of paper that they can total up like cash. Another feature we have that kind of mitigates the risk of holding money in your Coinos account is our new auto withdrawal feature. So you can set a threshold for your balance once it hits like say $100 or $1,000, whatever you're uncomfortable holding in there, you can have it automatically withdrawn to some external address or wallet. And it can be a Lightning address, it could be a Liquid address, or it could be a Bitcoin address. And so that might be your hardware wallet, or it could be going directly to your exchange address where it's getting cashed out to fiat, or it could just be some other Lightning wallet that you have on your phone. It's up to you to put in whatever address you want there. But yeah, it'll automatically sweep your balance out. And you can also set how much you want to leave behind in Coinos. So if you want to keep a reserve of $50 in there or something, you can not sweep everything out. You can leave a little bit behind.
And then also, Adam, if people are paying, if someone was paying Lightning, another person is paying in Liquid, are those fees apparent before you make the selection as to what type of Bitcoin you're using to pay? So the people, don't select the wrong thing and then get floored by the amount of fees that they're having to pay.
It sort of depends on their wallet. So as the customer, when you go to a merchant's profile page, it gives you the options. It defaults to Lightning. And if you scan that, if your wallet doesn't recognize a Lightning invoice because you're using an old on-chain only Bitcoin wallet or something, then it'll just fail and give you some error message. If you want to use Liquid, then as a customer, you decide, like you have to click the Liquid button to get a Liquid address specifically. Or you can get an on-chain address if you want. And then it depends on what wallet you're using. Most of them will give you a confirmation dialogue saying this is where you're sending to and this is what the fee is going to be. And some of them, if they're good, they'll let you set your own fee rate for on-chain payments. With Lightning wallets, it's usually they have to attempt the payment before you know what the fee is going to be. So it's can be sort of variable, and it depends on how many hops through the Lightning network it has to do and what people are charging along the way to forward that payment. But we have big channels to a lot of the popular Lightning wallets like Wallet of Satoshi and Phoenix. So with those, we usually have a direct channel. So if you're trying to pay us from one of those wallets, it's usually free. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
It does. Yeah. And then the last question, then I want to turn to Cole to see what some of his experiences are like reaching out to business owners, like, what strategies work, what strategies aren't as effective as you might imagine. But the last thing that would be helpful to hear from you, Adam, is how quickly does that receipt print out? Assuming there's a good internet connection, is it pretty much instantaneous or can there be some lags? Because customer flows are really important, especially in a lot of high traffic businesses.
Yeah, it's instant. Like as soon as you press, the customer presses send, the receipt starts coming out. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you can kind of hear it printing. So it's like you get the little bzzz, auditory signal that you've received a payment there.
Awesome. And Cole, so you're probably the one that speaks to businesses, to business owners most. Adam, you may end up having some insight here as well, but what types of businesses, obviously restaurants, but what types of businesses, what types of people seem most receptive to Bitcoin, and what strategies are most effective as well as you're communicating to people the value of Bitcoin for their business?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of the things that we mention to them to help them understand the value of Bitcoin would be that they become exposed to a community that is eager to support them. And the exposure they get is from, the free marketing. And we tell the whole Bitcoin community, not just within Vancouver, but we tell the Bitcoin community of the world, because me and Adam are very tied into a lot of different communities in different countries outside of Canada. And when people travel to Vancouver from countries outside of Canada, they do come to Vancouver and spend their Bitcoin. Me and Adam know some people that have done that. And when they see this, then they post on their social media pages, so their followers can also see it as well. And it's a chain reaction. It's a snowball effect for sure. And you know, like in Brazil, we have about 350 to 400 businesses at least in Brazil using us. And we're talking to someone from Colombia who's very motivated to bring CoinUs to their circular economy they have there. They do have some Bitcoinization there, but they don't like using wallet. This is what they told me. They told me they don't like using Wallet of Satoshi because they just don't like multiple things about it. And then that's why they wanted to reach out to us. They reached out to us in our Twitter DMs because they saw me and Adam on a Twitter Spaces with a different podcast there at that time. And so we're just always looking to do that. And that's what brings more attention to the merchants themselves in Vancouver and just the money they save and the Bitcoin price appreciation. I will mention to certain business owners that I'm trying to onboard that other businesses currently using us in Vancouver, well, everywhere, but I keep the focus on Vancouver when I'm talking to Vancouver merchants. The other Vancouver merchants are getting not just an increased sales, but their Bitcoin they're holding has gone way up in value, more than double a bunch of merchants. Me and Adam know a caterer that came on board with accepting Bitcoin payments back in 2022. He's more than doubled, like I think tripled his sales of his business because he was accepting Bitcoin payments in 2022 and he hasn't been selling his Bitcoin. Not much, anyways. He's a personal friend of mine, so I know a lot of what he's doing, and he's tripled his Bitcoin holdings, but he has gotten a lot more sales for his business as a whole, even when you compare it to his fiat payments from customers. So Bitcoin, depending on the kind of business you have, Bitcoin will help your overall sales of your business. And taxes, me and Adam get asked a lot about that. The business owners have concerns about taxes. How easy is it to file your taxes? It's actually very simple. With CoinAuth, you can export your CSV file. You go to your transaction screen and there's a button that says export. You click that button, it gives you the Microsoft Excel spreadsheet file. That's exactly what you give to your accountant / bookkeeper. It's very straightforward. Depending on what your tax situation is, we've made it very straightforward.
Adam, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but any recommendations or from your experience, things that work well when talking to business owners, and then maybe just wrap up the conversation with where you'd like for people to go to find out more about CoinUs and maybe give it a try for themselves.
Yeah, usually when approaching a new business owner, just kind of cold calling, like I was in a health food store yesterday and I kind of try to suss out whether the person behind the counter could be the owner or not. And if they look maybe like they could be the owner, then I'll strike up a conversation, ask if I can leave my business card. And I'll mention, yeah, we're working to set up businesses to take Bitcoin. It's free. You don't pay anything for transaction fees. You're going to get free promotion and exposure from us. Yeah, just usually try to get an email or some contact so I can follow up with them later and not try to overwhelm them with, you know, the ideology behind it or going into the properties of money or inflation or fractional reserve banking or anything like that. Just keep it simple that it's another payment technology for your customers to use, and it's free and easy to get started. And yeah, I guess point them to our website, coinos.io. That's where you can register an account. Just click the start in seconds button, put in a username and password, and that's all there is to it. There's no KYC. We don't collect email, phone number, or any personal information. You can just create a throwaway account to start trying it out. And once you get some money in there, then you can go into the settings and set up all the security features and customize your profile page, your logo and your banner. That's all customizable. But yeah, just getting started with a wallet and getting a little bit of Satoshis in your hands is like really powerful. So even when I'm out, if I'm like tipping my server or tipping someone, you know, any opportunity I have to tip someone, I'll try to tip them by setting them up a new Coinos account and putting a little bit of money in there for them rather than giving them a, you know, cash or something. So I'm sort of indirectly orange pilling people that don't have the option because it's either they take the tip in Bitcoin or they get nothing. So they're kind of forced to go and check it out. And hopefully most of them will, you know, log in again and see that it's gone up in value a year later when they remember about it. And then that piques their curiosity to go and learn a bit more about Bitcoin.
For sure. And then Cole, for you, are there any places, social media that you'd like for people to go besides coinos.io for the website? Any like personal places that you'd recommend people to go to keep up with you and what you're doing? Or is the website enough?
Thanks for asking, Josh. I always direct people to the website. Like I mentioned, coinos.io. If you scroll to the bottom of our homepage, there's also a Linktree link. That's a secondary recommendation that I give because it shows all of our social media pages. It shows Adam's YouTube channel where he does some really good how-to videos and tutorials and stuff like that, how to use the printer, how to buy the printer, how to use Coinos and get set up and stuff. Regarding personal, I don't actually have personal social media pages. I do have a lot of, I like that you asked this. It's interesting. I do have hobbies, multiple hobbies and interests outside of Bitcoin, believe it or not, right? I know it's surprising because of how laser focused and obsessed I am with Bitcoin. I know it's hard to believe that I have something else outside. I'd rather, if people want to send me a DM on our Coinos Twitter or our Coinos Instagram or Telegram, I'm very easy to get a hold of. I have a personal Telegram account, though. Very easy to get a hold of that way. If people want to learn more about what I do outside of Bitcoin, I'm more than happy to tell people if they want to send me a DM.
Sounds good. Well, Adam, Cole, thank you so much for your time today and for the great work you're doing. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Friends, it's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Business Bitcoinization Show. If you want to reach out to either me or the Coinos team, you can find those links down in the show notes. And if you're interested in accepting Bitcoin in your business, definitely consider Coinos. As always, keep building, keep growing, and until next time, keep living and leading well.